Aren't those scriptures awesome? Man, such a encouraging passages. I'm just going to share a quick word with you guys. Some of you guys may have come here and you got drug here. Some are have handcuff marks on you. I can see them. You screamed all the way here to the first couple steps and you didn't want to make a scene, so you just kind of came in quiet. I don't know how you got here, but I'm going to give you some really, really good news. Okay? If you haven't heard it already, you're going to hear it again. And it's worth telling. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? Jesus asked his disciples, it's such an important question, he asked them in Matthew 16, 13 through 17. And the first question he asked them is, who do men say that I am? What would they tell him? John the Baptist, some said Elijah, some said Jeremiah, or maybe one of the prophets. Nobody knew who Jesus was. The quote religious people at the time had no idea who Jesus was. And so his disciples tell him what people are saying about him. And then Jesus asks them, but who do you say that I am? That's the real question, isn't it? Who do you say Jesus is? A fable? A good teacher? A children's story of a hyperbolized healer in history? An idea constructed of religion to enslave men? One of many good men in history? Who do you say he is? The question that each of us have to answer. Peter answers, and he answers rightly. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Matthew 27, 50, we see a Roman centurion and the other soldiers with him at the foot of Jesus' cross after watching the crucifixion of Jesus. The earth quaked, graves were opened, the dead saints rose from the dead. The sun darkened. He sees the salvation of the thief next to Jesus. Centurions were hard men. They didn't get there by doing a lot of good paperwork. They got there by taking men's lives, by battle, by war. They governed 100 men. These were not people that were fly-by-night folks. This guy had seen it and done it. And say, it says with the men with him as well. What'd they say after they saw all that happened at the cross? Truly, this was the Son of God. Who do you say Jesus is? See, Thomas, he's like me. A doubter. After Jesus appears to him and the rest of the disciples, and he says, Thomas, put your fingers into the wounds. What'd Thomas say? My Lord and my God. Right after that in John, we see the story of the woman at the well. Jesus spoke of himself. Some people say, Jesus never said he was God. Yeah, he did. Many times. So many times they tried to kill him. Tried to stone him. What did he tell the woman at the well? I am the Messiah. Period. Flatly. Just some no-name lady out in the middle of nowhere who was a sinner. And he met her where she was and enlightened her and showed her the truth and the light of the gospel. Let's look at some scriptures about who Jesus is. And then we'll answer the second question, why did he come? In John 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, and who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom is said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace," and the ESV translates it, "upon grace." Grace upon grace. "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." In John 3, we read this. After a discussion with Nicodemus about how does a man be born again, John 3, 14 through 17 says this. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You might say, "Why am I condemned, Ryan, if I don't believe in Jesus?" We read in verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." We read in Romans 5:23, we're told as well, why the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In 1 John 1, 8 and 9, we read this. "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Have you guys ever been driving out in the woods and got your truck stuck? You didn't want to admit it, right? So you wiggled and wormed, and you gassed it, and you punched it, and you turned the wheels, and you did everything to do, until finally, what happens? You get out. You're up to the axles, and you're stuck. If you do not know Jesus Christ, please take a look at your spiritual life. You're stuck. You're stuck in sin. But the Lord can pull you out. And that's the good news of the gospel. In Matthew 13, 24, let me read you that. Matthew 13, 24. We see the parable of the wheat and the tares. "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servant of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then are there tares?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you will uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, 'First gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And then in Matthew 13:36, we see Jesus give us the explanation of this. He answered them and said, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, for who has ears to hear, let him hear. So we see this parable that Jesus speaks concerning this whole idea. Each of us is either going to be under God's grace or under his judgment. Those are the only two places we can be. Finish up with a couple of scriptures in Romans. Romans 5, 6 through 11. When we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. Look at Romans 3. Romans 3, 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely. You don't have to open your wallet. You don't have to do good works to earn your way to heaven. It doesn't happen that way. He says we're justified freely by his what? His grace. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's why we're here. Who God set forth to be a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And Ephesians 1, 7, 8 says this. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Jesus Christ came as a child, went to the cross, and bore the wrath of God in your place. That wrath of God was on you and me as unbelievers. He bore it. He paid for it once and for all. My friend, that is good news. And Jesus Christ can easily pull your truck out of the mud, pull your life out of the mud, adopt you as a son or daughter. I was looking at a couple of videos online my wife was showing me. Have you seen these videos where people can't see at all and they put on these glasses and all of a sudden they can see color? Some people that couldn't see at all see their wife or husband for the first time. They see things, and what happens? It's really emotional for a lot of people because they realize everything that they thought was reality was not. And now they're looking and seeing. My words will not change your heart. I am some dumb brush oaky. God's word, his Holy Spirit, will grip you and change you and make you a new creature. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. He will put spiritual glasses on you. He will. You'll be able to see your sin. You'll be able to see his grace and forgiveness. And you will never, ever be the same. Never. And then we're going to finish up with a song. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your grace. We are totally undeserving. But you forgave us. You came to pay a debt we could not pay. You didn't know it. God, I pray that whoever's here, that you would grip them, show them. Lord, put spiritual glasses on them to see the truth of the word. We love you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.